It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The government shutdown that started on October 1st is still ongoing. It's now the longest shutdown in U.S. history.
Democrats in the Senate have been calling for a deal that would extend Affordable Care Act subsidies past the end of the year. Republicans are blaming Democrats for the shutdown dragging on. And meanwhile, 1 million federal workers are either furloughed or working without pay.
We're inviting members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation to weigh in. Tomorrow, we'll hear from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson at this time. Now, Democratic Representative Mark Pocan joins us, representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. That includes Madison, Reedsburg, and Dodgeville. Representative Pocan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob. Appreciate it.
Your Democratic colleagues in the Senate have been saying throughout that health care subsidies for the Affordable Care Act marketplace and some other health care coverage-related funding are what's keeping them from extending government funding now. For you, what is the minimum commitment on health care that you'd want to see that would make you say, yeah, go ahead, let's do this?
Well, first, I mean, I think you have to take it to a 30,000-foot level. You have to show up in Washington to do anything. And we are now on our 7th week of essentially paid vacation because Mike Johnson hasn't had the House in session. So from, you know, the top 30,000-foot level, we have to get back to work. We have a farm bill that's 2 years overdue. We have an Older Americans Act, I think, that's a year overdue. We have a bunch of bills to do, and holding your breath isn't the answer. Having said that, this fight is clearly about health care, because in the big ugly law that was passed a few months back, they took away health care from 15 million people, raised all of our rates in the process, and they did it without a plan. For 15 years, they have, since the Affordable Care Act was passed, not had a plan. The closest we've got has been a concept of a plan that Donald Trump told us about in a debate, but there is nothing even to that concept. So, yes, you can't take away health care without having some alternative plan, and the fight is largely about that.
The subsidy issue, though, these are subsidies that were added during COVID, saying, okay, yes, we've got this health emergency. We need a little extra something here. That emergency is done. Isn't it time, maybe, as Republicans are arguing, for those subsidies to end and go back to what the plan was pre-COVID?
What they are actually doing was, you know, like any law, if you see when we put that in place in 2010, many people got coverage, but we saw there were some people that didn't have coverage. So when we did that, along with other health-related things, this was just simply what we do every day, is tweaking laws to make them serve their actual purpose. And in this case, it was making sure that more people had affordable health care, those who needed it. And based on the holes that we saw in the plan, that was put in place. Also, we always do sunsets, so you can continue to review it, and that's simply where we're at. So it's nothing related specifically to COVID or anything else. This is just what we do. You tweak laws as you see there's holes or things didn't work out as you intended. And, you know, to take that away from people now without an alternative is somewhere between stupid and cruel.
People are shopping for coverage on the marketplace and elsewhere right now. Average rates expected to go up. I've seen averages of $1,000+ for a year, but some people, especially at the higher limits of the coverage, could see $1,000 or $2,000 a month. What are you hearing from constituents as the marketplace open enrollment is open?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, averages are a tough number to use. I think it's like 23% or something like that average increase, but it really depends on your age and your plan. And if you're in that 57 to 65 range, you could get hit with up to a $2,000 a month increase because of the changes they did. And obviously, that's why they're saying 4 million people will lose their health care just from this. But also, because of the uncompensated care that this and the Medicaid changes are going to create, we're all paying more right now. So group plans are also coming out for next year. And I had one Madison employer told me their increase was 41%. So while not directly in the big ugly law, it's very much related to the people losing health care. It's not like you don't get sick. Someone has to pay for that at the end of the day. Insurance companies are factoring that in. And now we're all paying more for health care.
Representative Derek Van Orden, Republican from Western Wisconsin, talked to the media this week in La Crosse. Here's somewhat he had to say about the shutdown.
Me and my Republican colleagues in the House of Representatives and every Republican senator except for one voted collectively 14 times to keep the government open and to fund WIC, SNAP, Border Patrol, military, the FAA, our air traffic controllers. We voted, the Republicans voted 14 times to keep the government open. The Democrats have voted 14 times to shut the government down and keep it shut down.
That audio from the La Crosse Tribune, Representative Van Orden went on to say there's nothing to talk to them about, referring to House Democrats saying we passed a bill. That's how government works. He gave that litany of things that are affected by the shutdown. Is the potential harm created by problems with SNAP funding, air traffic control and so on worth it for this fight for health care subsidies?
Well, the American people get it. We're not in charge of the government. The Republicans are. And if they put together a partisan CR that locks in the health care cuts and the education cuts and the food assistance cuts, by the way, they voted to cut $158 billion to the SNAP program. Derek Van Orden and other Republicans in Wisconsin did. If you put all that in place by just doing a continuing resolution, we're actually accomplishing all their goals. Also, Donald Trump is doing rescissions of funds, which is a fancy Washington word for saying he's stealing the funds that Congress has approved in a bipartisan way, which means you never have an agreement. So, you know, I don't know if Derek is either trying to lie or he just doesn't understand it or a mixture of the both, but clearly the American people do get it when you look at the polling. If the Republicans are in charge of the House and the Senate and the White House, and they're not talking to us and they're not showing up to work, I think most people get why we're in this situation. First thing we should do is start going back to Washington. We have a farm bill that's 2 years overdue. We have an Older Americans Act reauthorization overdue. We have a whole lot of work to do. And simply holding your breath and spending most of the time in your basement tweeting, drinking a pitcher of pina coladas, like I think Derek and other Republicans are doing, is anything but acceptable.
Talking to we're talking to Democratic Representative Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, looking at the ongoing government shutdown. Another Republican colleague, Glenn Grothman, talked to WPR yesterday, talking about the SNAP benefits and the impact on the shutdown vote.
It's completely unnecessary. I had hoped that the delay in food stamps in the last week would kind of shake things up a little bit and cause people to at least allow the government to stay open. That didn't happen.
Representative Pocan, those benefits not going out. Some question, the president has said, hey, maybe half benefits covered by emergency funds. Does that change the calculus? This would have a direct impact on many of your constituents.
Well, first of all, I mean, we had put a contingency fund together of somewhere between $5 and $6 billion, which covers about 3/4 of a month's worth of benefits. And even the Department of Agriculture under Donald Trump admitted that was congressional intent to use that. So the fact that they even fought it in the first place didn't make any sense because he accessed that fund in his first administration when there was a shutdown. Having said that, I think the more incredulous part is Republicans in the Big Ugly Law cut the SNAP program, the very program they now claim to be defenders of, by $158 billion. Millions of people won't get access to food assistance. It's the number one program keeping kids out of poverty. So you can't have it one way when you cut funding for the program so in the future millions of people won't have access and then now say someone else's fault because it's not happening, even though we put a contingency fund together in a bipartisan way to deal with this. I just think the rhetoric is so far off the charts. People need to get back to Washington and work. And short of that, they're AWOL, they're derelict of duty. And I just don't see how they think not showing up and getting a paycheck is accountability.
To get out of this shutdown, what kind of deal do you need to see? Do you need in this funding bill those subsidies extended, or is there some kind of solid commitment to, hey, here's a plan, we're going to vote on it separately by X date? Would that do the job for you?
Yeah, I think in general, we have to figure out how to get some actual language or a vote, or quite honestly, some protection for the funds that we'd be passing so the president doesn't just continue stealing them, which he doesn't have the legal authority to do. And there are lawsuits on that, but you would need some language to ensure some of that. Otherwise, every deal we have is never a deal if the president goes in and steals the funds that we just agreed to. And that is what's happening right now. So, you know, this is a crisis largely created by Donald Trump. He's telling Congress what to do. They jump when he says jump. And right now, he needs to tell them to get back to work because we actually have things we need to do.
Switching gears for a moment, we had an election on Tuesday, not here in Wisconsin, but it's one of those odd numbered year tea leaf sort of events. Democrats did well in states around the country. What's your reaction to the outcomes we saw on Tuesday?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of what we've been saying we thought would happen did happen, and we are glad to see. People are tired of paying too much for things. Donald Trump got elected largely on the economy. 50% of people in exit polls said they were paying too much for goods because inflation was high coming out of COVID, and he said he had addressed that. Instead, we're paying more for groceries and durable goods because of Trump's tariff taxes. We're paying more for energy and now healthcare because of the big ugly law, and housing has remained high. So I think people get, if their pocketbook, if their wallet is not able to cover their expenses like they were promised, this is not what they signed up for. And I think between that and just the real imminent face of people losing healthcare and what that can do to a family or a neighbor of you know, anyone that's close to people, all of that, I think, came into play on Tuesday. And that's why we saw the big wins in very diverse parts of the country.
Very briefly, assuming the shutdown ends sometime soon, what, you've mentioned the farm bill, what else do you think should be Congress's top priority once you're back to business?
Well, I think as soon as we get back in, they put in place Adelita Grijalva from Arizona. That means we'll probably have a vote on the Epstein files. I think we should vote on members of Congress not being able to trade stock. Everyone says they're for it, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't have a vote. Absolutely, the farm bill.
I think we've lost Representative Pocan, happily right at the end of the interview anyway. Thanks to U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, Democrat representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Been talking about the ongoing government shutdown, now officially the longest in U.S. history, and what negotiations are looking like on Capitol Hill. Tomorrow at this time, Republican Senator Ron Johnson joins the show.